Hello, Dr. Jen. Thank you so much for joining us at Tune Up Fitness here today. My name is Ariel Kylie, and for everyone listening, this is Dr. Jen Escare, and I can't wait to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Great, great. And where are you right now? Are you out there in sunny California?
I am. I actually had to come to a girlfriend's place today because my place had the alarm going off all day.
Ooh, that's so bad for audio.
Exactly. That would did not have been a great idea.
Yeah. So how did you handle your nervous system with this alarm going off all day, being Dr. Jen Fit and knowing you still were going to do an interview? How did you handle it?
There, I would say there was a moment of frustration, mainly toward not being notified that was going to happen. But, you know, collected my things and listened to my breath, tuned in with my body, called a friend, and left right away.
Awesome. Awesome. That's like a really good lesson just right off the bat.
Yeah.
Felt the anxiety, tuned into the breath, moved toward a solution.
Exactly. And that's what I've like really been grateful for in terms of tuning into breath work so much more, because it has allowed me in situations of like panic or stress or anything like that, it doesn't overcome me. And I'm grateful to have the tools to learn how to, you know, get out of those moments and shift that nervous system inside.
Absolutely. I am so excited to dig more into these details. For people who are listening that don't know who you are, I really just want to give them an overview. You are a physical therapist and a teacher of mobility and fitness, and you have this extraordinary Instagram feed. You have over 500,000 followers, and I was just binging on your posts before our conversation. And it was amazing how many times I cried.
Wow.
There's a way that you're merging education, simple like empowerment education around understanding your body and physically empowering your body, and this personal touch that's really quite moving.
No pun intended,
but it really is.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. So can you tell me a little bit more about your own background, how you got into movement, and ultimately why you decided to become a physical therapist?
Yeah, I mean, movement has always been a part of my life. It really, honestly, has been like trained into me as a child. And I'm grateful as well that that was presented as just a way of life. Like my mom worked out like crazy. I mean, it would be like she would drop us off at the park. We'd go play in the sandbox while she ran around the track or something. Or like, I remember riding my bike as she's running next to me. I remember these moments of just how she integrated, you know, involving us in her active lifestyle, because this was like a part of her life. It wasn't something she had to do. It was something that she wanted to do. And so seeing how that was already formed and shaped really, I think, just easily came into my mindset. And then we were also required growing up to be in a sport. So they wanted us to understand sports and have that, you know, it just teaches you so many life principles in terms of commitment and integrity into doing the hard work and so much self-discipline that I'm really, really grateful that I was able to have. So I did gymnastics growing up. And then once I decided to quote unquote retire from gymnastics, dabbled into Pilates because I loved that same kind of moving your own body and understanding that. And I just continue to be so amazed by the body and really wanting to see, okay, what can I continue to learn? Like teaching and Pilates was great, but it was like, why am I modifying around injury? What could I be doing more for these people? Or, you know, I was also a gymnastics coach after I quit. So it was great, you know, learning how to tape ankles, again, learning how to modify around movement or pain or injury. But again, there was this constant question that I had of like, but why? And am I really helping by taping an ankle? What is this doing? And how could I help more? And so it was really this constant search of why that really continued to drive me into, you know, where I am now.
Wow. So when you were in those training environments, I mean, that just really woke up something in my mind. We're often taught, and my background is as a therapeutic yoga teacher and yoga teacher. So you okay, if people are injured in these ways, these are the modifications. But instead of just taking those modifications and offering them without thought, that actually caused you to pause and say, why are we modifying instead of finding a way to heal or work through this situation?
Yeah, definitely.
So is that what brought you to study physical therapy?
Yeah. So I, again, wanting to understand the body and learn more about the body. And I also loved anatomy and biology, like in high school and everything. So I was like, okay, well, let me study kinesiology in
college.
Did
you dissect anything weird in high school?
In high school, it was a pig.
You did?
Yeah. So we got to dissect a pig in high school. And then in college, I went into my undergrad degree was kinesiology because I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do yet. But I knew that I, again, it's the study of human movement and I loved human movement. So if I'm going to, and with my parents, another requirement, you can live with us as long as you go to school or you're out once you're 18 and you figure out what you want to do for your own. So I was like, okay, let me go to school, continue to kind of search and figure out what it is I want to do. So I went and did kinesiology. And it was through kinesiology where I also got to dissect a cat, which was awesome and super cool, even though I've had cats growing up and I love them. But it was just cool. I just continue to love learning and love understanding the body a little bit deeper. And so I started working at a physical therapy clinic. And from there, I was like, oh, like really watching a physical therapist like feel movement within their hands or watch a client and start to figure things out within their minds. I was like, just fascinated by this physical aspect of being able to help someone back into their body or get out of pain or figure out where their pain could be coming from. And so that's where it was like, okay, this is what I want to do. I don't want to necessarily go back. At the time, I really thought chiropractic was just adjustment and go. And so that's really what drew me into physical therapy instead. I understand now, depending on who the chiropractor is, it could be very different. And I've learned a lot from chiropractors as well. But at the time, that's all I knew. So that's why I went into physical therapy and saying, okay, how can I dive into the body more? And then from there, it's just a continued journey of learning and realizing how the mind also plays a role into pain and the body and all of that.
Yeah. So where did you attend your physical therapy training?
So I went to grad school at Loma Linda University in Southern California, and that was a 3-year program, and then graduated and started working in Santa Monica.
But how hard was PT school? Was it extremely rigorous? Because I've heard it's gnarly.
So honestly, yes and no. Yeah, it's a lot and there's a lot to learn and study and it's a continual thing. You can't really hold a full-time job or anything, but I was teaching Pilates throughout the entire time, which was also great for me because I would just sometimes work into, you know, get my workout in the Pilates as I'm teaching or be able to be there and get my own workout right after I taught. So I'd only have to do a couple classes and I did that like 3 times a week probably. And then also during our lunch break, me and another friend whose last name is also a scare, which is the exact same last name as me, which is crazy because I'd never met another human with my last name who isn't part of my family. And him and I were very like fitness oriented and loved learning. And he did a lot more lifting. I did a lot more like body weight, Pilates, yoga type stuff. So we started creating a workout group every lunch. And so we'd have like 6 to 10 people join us. We would do lifts, sprints, Pilates, different things. And we started doing that every single lunch. And then on top of that, that's when I got introduced to this thing called calisthenics, which is where you move your own body weight, which is what we know. But there was like almost a new sport of sorts coming around in the LA community and all around the US, I would say, in terms of, you know, using your own body weight on bars, almost like ugly gymnastics, outdoors stuff of what you could do on crazy bar tricks and all this stuff. And so I got introduced to that community and I started going down to LA like almost every week and started training with them, started competing with them. This is all in grad school.
Now, were you on one of those like muscle beach bar.
Yes.
Gymnasiums down by Venice yes. Beach.
Yep. Right on the sand where the bars are set up. It was so much fun.
And I imagine that must have brought up a lot of gymnastic memories. Did you do anything on bars in gymnastics? What was your main specialty? Is that what you would call it as a gymnast?
Yeah. Well, as far as I competed up to, so I competed up to level 8. And so you do all of the events when you're still like competing and learning. Once you get into college or beyond, that's when you start to specialize in usually one or two areas. So I was still doing them all, but bars was actually my least favorite. I really enjoyed the beam. That was actually my favorite event in gymnastics. So when I met, you know, all the crew who was doing everything crazy in Venice on Venice Beach, it became more about like maintaining my skill and my strength rather than how many flips off the bar I could do and anything like that, especially because I was so mindful, like I'm trying to be a physical therapist. I don't need to do anything crazy and get hurt, but it's also cool to surround myself with this community of movers who were just so enthusiastic about movement and learning new skills. And they were all very enthusiastic about helping each other. And so any new person that came in, they were so open to like, let me show you how to do it. And I remember the first day I went down and I was like sitting on the beam and they went one by one and like shook my hand and introduced themselves. And it was so sweet of this just like huge beastly guys really just introducing themselves and so open and welcoming. And that really is what drew me into the community.
What a healthy way as an adult to connect and play and party with other adults. Like, because we have that. We have that experience coming out of college and then we're getting into our late 20s and like, how are you going to socialize? How are you going to connect? And lots of ways we connect are actually pretty toxic for our body and for our musculoskeletal system. It's just so exciting to think of you out there building your adult life and friendships through this really like body positive environment.
Oh yeah, it was so incredible. And that's what really like continued to draw me toward Instagram because at the time, again, I'm going through school. So that should be my main focus. But all of a sudden this other community and this other world started to open up and I was getting invited to events where other crazy movers, whether they were acrobats or yogis, Pilates, strength training, anything, like people who just love to explore what their bodies could do and explore movement. And I started to meet all these amazing humans. And so it was like this cool little side project that I got to explore while I was in physical therapy school. And that's what motivated me to continue to post on Instagram and be like, okay, let me show you my calisthenic journey. And let me show you as I learn acro yoga and as I do all these other things, because it was creating this connection outside of PT. And it was, and you know, when I, and then once I got past my first year of PT school and I busted my butt to create straight A's, I also was like, okay, as long as I just pass, I'm going to have to take the same boards as everyone else and, you know, do all the things. So as long as I pass, I don't care if I'm valedictorian, I'm going to get a job based on how I connect with humans and based on, you know, continuing to learn as a physical therapist. So I don't have to get straight A's. So this isn't the message I promote for everyone, but at the same time, this is what worked for me. I was like, I can get B's and be okay. And so I really just was like, okay, let me just learn and like enjoy that, but also not stress myself to the point of losing a social life and all these other things that people scare you with grad school. I didn't have that experience. I learned more. I competed. I expanded my community. It was amazing.
That is so cool. Yeah. So your message to young people isn't get B's and blow up your Instagram feed. Just to be clear.
Just to be clear, no, it's just don't stress about the things you can't always control and know that you're going to be just fine. And if something else is like continuing to pull you and make you happy, like lean in and explore that.
Yeah. And your career, it feels like is such an integration of your professional work, your really serious professional work and studies, and your communities. And I love how on your Instagram feed, your partner shows up regularly in movement. Oh, there's one of you two dancing. I cried. Can I read? Yeah. I want to read something from your Instagram feed that you wrote that I think would actually, that's actually going to be really fascinating for listeners who are other teachers or educators and want to learn from what you've done really beautifully as someone who's built a very positive and epic social network.
Yeah.
So if I may.
Yes.
You said, this particular Instagram you see here has been built organically over 4 years. It started as Jen S. Care purely for friends and family. Then I found a tribe and family down in Venice Beach doing calisthenics. Shortly thereafter, progressive calisthenics started posting me in the community and my Instagram suddenly started to grow. I quickly switched from posting me and friends to posting what I was learning in calisthenics and how I was training for competition. Yes, I competed in the first female World Calisthenics Organization competition. Once I graduated with my Doctor of Physical Therapy degree, I switched my handle to Doc Jen Fit and started sharing my education. I've gone from hiding who I am and only showing my body to being proud of who I am and showing you all of me. From insecurities to ownership, I've been consistent for the pure joy of giving and learning for me and you. Building anything takes time. Stop comparing your journey. Drop the gimmicks. Seek what truly lights you up. Find out how you can give back and continue doing that. Thank you for being a part of my journey. This is like the most beautiful thesis on how to build organically build an audience. One thing that you talk about a lot also is just consistency.
Yeah.
Like regularly showing up. And that must relate to you regularly showing up for your physical practice as well. It's kind of the same thing, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I think any kind of consistency builds trust. And I also really love the saying, you know, how we do one thing is how we do anything. And so if I'm going to be showing up for other people, how am I showing up for myself? Because if I'm not showing up for myself and keeping my word and trust for myself, I'm not going to be able to, like, there's going to be this disingenuous, like, inauthenticity within me that will probably in some aspect pour out, you know, to the community as well. And that's not what I want to give. I want to show people by example. If I'm going to be consistent for you, I also get to be consistent with me. And that doesn't mean being perfect, because what is perfect and whose judgment is that? But that means being honest and open. So if, like, I want to commit to showing up for my body, and some days I have the days where I don't eat as well, or I don't move, like, okay, can I check in with that? Why did that happen? And is that okay? And how can I move forward now? So it's really being able to hold myself accountable to what I say and my own word and my own compassion for myself too, and not beating myself up, so that I can show that for the community. And like, oh, it's okay if I didn't post today. Like, they're still going to, you know, I'm still going to be able to give back another day, or it's going to be okay. And a compassion in myself, in my clients, and in the community that I've built.
Nice. And how do you decide from week to week or day to day what you really want to share? Is it based on what you're discovering in your practice?
I would say it ebbs and shifts. So there's moments where I get super inspired and I can create like a whole almost like month log of like what I'm going to be creating. Or there's moments where I'm really in tune with a lot of people who are asking me continual questions, and I'm like, okay, let me speak into this. And so this week I'm going to speak into what a lot of people are asking. And then sometimes I, you know, there'll be lulls of like, I'm not feeling inspired. So maybe I'm posting something that I've shared in the past, or I'm not forcing myself to create, because I also, everything I've posted, everything I've created has come from a place of like feeling fueled and inspired and pushed into giving something. And when it doesn't feel like it's coming from a good place, or if I'm forcing myself out of the need, then I know it's not going to come off the same way either. Like, it has to come from this inspirational place within me in order to share. And that's a lot of my content. Sometimes it'll be like, I think of it in the moment and I'm like, oh my gosh, this would be amazing. I want to post this. I want to talk about this. And a lot of it has been my own journey of like continued courses or friends that I have and continuing to learn from other people and like, okay, let me share what I've learned. Let me share how we can up level together.
Awesome. I love that idea that you don't have to have one exact strategy and always stick to it. Like you were saying, you can have a month where you're maybe sharing the narrative of a certain physical idea or movement, or you can just be inspired in a moment.
Yeah.
Will you share with me, let's say, like one of your favorite topics that you've gone deeply into? And it might have also shown up on your subscription program, which I am going to sign up for. It looks amazing. What's the name of your subscription program?
That one's The Optimal Body.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So can you share just a topic like around the body that you, that really has lit you up recently?
You know, I think I love talking into this idea of a body conversation. Because with any kind of conversation, we have three parts of a conversation, which I don't even know that we're aware of sometimes. We have the external part of a conversation, which someone is telling to us. Then we have the internal conversation of what we're interpreting and making up about it. And then we have the listening portion of a conversation of when we're saying, you're worth listening to, I'm going to take the time to listen. Now, if we can incorporate all of those aspects into our own body and listen to our body conversation, then that's when we really start to transform, because external conversation, what other people put on us, like, these are your genetics. This is, oh, you have this. You're not going to be able to run. You're not going to be able to do this. Or you're never going to be able to touch your toes. Or whatever anyone puts on us is part of the external conversation, which can always be adapted and changed. Like, we are just continuing to learn more and more and more of, like, even our genetics gets to be changed based on, you know, the function of those genes. So there's nothing externally that someone puts on us that we have to take on anymore. And then there's that internal part of the conversation, which is like, what am I telling myself based on what other people are telling me now? Like, oh, I can't have this food, or I can't move this way, or my body is broken, or I have to do all these things and I feel awful. I can't do these things anymore. I can't do this. And like, it's this constant negativity, or, oh my gosh, I have pain. I don't have time for pain. Why is this pain here? Why is this happening? And it's this constant negative, you know, intake of everything that you're pouring into your body internally. And then there's, have you even tapped into the listening portion? And that's typically the part where I feel like people are missing too, because it's like, in conversation, again, you're worth listening to. But are you saying that to your body? You're worth listening to. You're worth taking the time and saying like, oh, hi, pain. Like, I'm going to listen to you instead of beat you up or make you wrong. Like, you're beautiful because you're part of the alarm system that alerts me when something isn't moving right or feeling right, or something internally in an organ can be referring pain, or a nerve. So you tell me when something is out of whack. It's actually a beautiful experience to be having pain. Or, oh, I'm feeling bloated. I'm feeling low energy. I'm feeling whatever it may be. Why might that be happening? Like, did I get sleep? Have I been eating and fueling my body with nutrients? Have I been getting enough water? Or am I filling my life and my time with people who inspire and bring me positivity? Like, when we actually get to listen to our body, we get out of the way of relying on someone else to fix us and knowing that we have the tools to tap in internally.
Love that. So, so true. And also, like, not trying to force the body onto your timeline, because sometimes the flare of pain or discomfort, it's the beginning of a journey that you need to take with that body part. And you don't even have to call it a healing journey, because healing implies that something was broken. You can just take a journey with it and go on its time. And usually there's so many more layers of revelation that come with that journey than you might give it credit for when you're just like, oh, I tweaked my back. Mm-hmm. So would you be willing to share with us maybe sometime when your physical body was acting up and causing you to have to change your plans for a weekend or a year?
Yeah, totally. So I've had a couple instances and I love it's just it's a great learning opportunity to continue to explore. So when I was in grad school, actually, I ended up getting a twisted colon in three places, which I didn't know that's what was happening. I just knew I was having extreme, extreme amounts of pain, like not being able to eat for a week because I was in so much pain, having to leave classes because I couldn't concentrate. I could barely stand upright. Like it was so incredibly painful. And that year that I was having those pains, I went to the hospital three times and had to be put on morphine. And literally they couldn't tell me what was happening. They like the end result was just like, oh, well, you have IBS and, you know, irritable bowel syndrome and you're stressed. Maybe you should take something because you're in grad school. And I'm like, I'm competing. I'm happy. I'm free. Like I am not, you should see some of my classmates. They're stressed. They might need the anti-anxiety stuff, but I don't. Like I'm not stressed. So I just don't understand what could be happening. And it was frustrating as well, because as I'm going through grad school, I'm studying all these pathologies and I'm learning, you know, I don't have Crohn's disease. I don't have, you know, ulcerative colitis or anything like that, because I knew those kinds of symptoms that I wasn't having. So it was frustrating to be like, I'm in immense amount of pain and all anyone is telling me is basically confirming my pain. IBS is not telling me a solution. It's not telling me a cause. It's literally just confirming, oh yeah, you have an irritable bowel. Like, thank you for telling me I have pain. Like, I get that. I already feel that. And so that was a really kind of frustrating time, but I didn't know enough. I definitely wasn't listening to my body. I would listen that I had pain, but I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know how to search for causes. I didn't know how to look at the food or the people I was around. I didn't know how to look for deeper things that could actually get to the root cause. And so finally, after the third time being in the hospital, my dad was like, you're doing the colonoscopy. And I'm like, fine. And so I ended up doing a colonoscopy and turns out that untwisted the colon, but they still couldn't figure out why it was twisted in the first place. So I ended up then starting to learn a lot more about food and a lot more like, I mean, growing up as a gymnast, you don't have to worry about food because you're working out all the time. And no one was telling us like what we should and shouldn't be eating.
Did you live off like Doritos and Twinkies or what was?
Oh. I mean, majority I would say was like bean and cheese burritos and bread and chocolate milk, because I had to drink milk growing up. So I would just douse it in chocolate so I could handle it. So yeah, it was a horrible, horrible diet. And you know, starting to learn about like, oh, what are diets? What are nutrients? Like I was even I was an affiliate for a supplement company that was fun and cool because I was with all my friends and doing, you know, more calisthenic type activity stuff. But then when I started to learn what was actually in those protein like supplements, and I had to stop being an affiliate and stop taking the supplements myself, because again, I started to learn like, oh my God, like I don't even know these ingredients. And a lot of it is sugar or bad stuff. Like I can't be telling other people to take this when I'm not even going to be taking it anymore. So just the more that I started to learn, and I'm still on this continual learning process about, because this isn't something I studied. Food is not, you know, my main area of study. It's becoming a very big area because I think it all relates and it all comes together with the pain and body and everything. And so going through that experience was just like very eye-opening. And then again, continuing to listen, okay, these kinds of workouts kind of flare up my stomach. Was it something I ate the day before, or am I not drinking enough water while, or am I not? So it was like playing with this balance of like, what is irritating my bowel? How can I start to look at the foods I'm eating, the sleep I'm getting, the water I'm intaking, and just how I'm responding and kind of listening to my bowel in that way. And so continuing, I think it's a continual journey as well for me. And then I also got shingles last year. So kind of, again, that was a huge learning opportunity to like, what's not aligned? What am I not in tune to? What am I not listening to? And that lesson came later, not until the end of the year, that I really was like, oh, that's what I wasn't listening to.
What weren't you listening to?
So I was in a relationship that I knew something was not right, but I was trying to force what I thought was supposed to be. I was trying to force, like, but you said that we could be here, but what about this idea of where we could be and what could happen, and like living into the possibilities and the potential of what I thought this relationship was supposed to be, and trying to force it into that direction. When really it was like, if I just looked at what was in front of me for face value, it was not something I was ever going to be aligned with. And so it was like my body's way of this stress coming up. And I knew it was happening because I also had recommended us going to therapy and doing other things. And so that's when I got shingles, when I felt like even going to therapy, I wasn't feeling heard. I wasn't feeling seen. And my body reacted. And I was like, hey, do you see? Like I'm going crazy. And emotionally, mentally, physically, like it's all speaking to me now. But I still continue to try to say, okay, what is it in me that I need to fix? What is it in me that I'm not enough? What is it in me that I'm not doing right? And I continue to put it on me, which obviously didn't help. And it wasn't until like a lot of the signs pointed, like we finally broke up because I got information on things that were clearly not aligned. And I was like, wow, see? And it was this moment of revelation of like, oh, my body was trying to tell me and I wasn't listening. And it was this moment of like freedom in this, oh, I can trust myself. Like that inkling, that feeling, that frustration internally, that was me being so unaligned and not listening. And being told that that's not right, or I need to be more of something, or I'm not enough, or whatever it is, and continuing to play into that false story, I continue to pull myself away from me. And so being able to then step back and be like, oh, wait, I can trust myself. Like that feeling, that uncertainty, that frustration and unalignment, that was real. And my body gets to be heard, myself, my intuition, everything, like that listening portion that I talk about went so much deeper when that all opened up. And I'm so grateful for it.
That is amazing. And I can relate. And I'm sure our listeners can relate. I think it's really fun also to just hear, like sitting amongst friends, like, what is that part of your body that tells you before you don't want to admit it? For me, it's my throat.
Yeah.
Like I'll even get laryngitis. If I'm not speaking my truth, I just get silenced from the inside. And that actually really forces me to step back and reflect, like, what am I not saying? Or
like you're that saying. That is so huge.
Yeah. And like you're saying, I mean, I think you just gave some of the best dating advice. Look at what's right in front of you. Like, don't look at the possibility. Oh, you know what? There's infinite possibilities out there. Like, translate that way of looking to your career. Like, yes, there's infinite possibilities for you. Then look at your relationship by like what's in front of you, you know? Really interesting. So when did you come across like Jill Miller and the mobility tools that we like to play with at Tune Up Fitness? I noticed some Tune Up tools made little guest appearances on your Instagram feed.
They always make guest appearances.
Yeah.
I love that.
How did you come across this stuff?
I think I had heard about Tune Up Fitness just through other friends. And I remember a girlfriend came over one time and she brought her another fellow PT over who leads yoga as well. And we did like a rooftop yoga session, just us two. And the instructor, who was also a PT, had the tools. And so we were using some of the balls and stuff. And I was like, oh, these are cool. Like very different than what I see in a typical like lacrosse ball or anything like that. And it felt really good. And so from there, that's like what first introduced me. And I started to, and my girlfriend would actually, who was the other PT, would talk about it a lot. Like, oh, I might do, I think she was even going to do Breath and Bliss and at the time and stuff. And so it was like this new thing that was being talked about around me. And then I think I started following Jill because I liked, you know, what she was putting out on social media and how she would collaborate with people like Kelly Starrett, who it would seem like, oh, but he's doing the same thing, you know, but yet she's open and she's collaborating and they're both working together and like all these other people. And so it was like, I loved that mentality that she seemed very open. And then I don't know if she reached out or I reached out, but someone ended up reaching out through social media and we had this just instant connection, I would say. And she came over and we did a live together, which was so much fun. And she's got so much knowledge. So I just continued my respect for the brand and the tools and everything continued to grow really through meeting her and how open and giving and generous she is and collaborative. Like that's just one of my main things. I surround myself with people who are very open and collaborative and not in competition or scarcity around being able to help each other. So I loved that. And I genuinely love the tools. I genuinely now like I'm incorporating it more and more into my programs even. So the mobility method has one using the gorgeous ball with links to the gorgeous ball. I talk about the gorgeous ball on Instagram all the time. And I use it with clients. I use it with clients with the therapy balls. Usually my main two I've been using is the therapy balls and the gorgeous ball. And that's what I use with clients. And many of my clients in person end up getting the gorgeous ball as well.
Yeah, the therapy balls are just very direct, awesome tools, I find. But there's something about the gorgeous ball. Maybe it's just the intimacy of being able to rest like your abdomen and feel your organs and even your rib cage. Like you wouldn't rest the side of your rib cage on a harder therapy ball. There's something about the softness of the gorgeous ball that takes it to a different place.
Yes. That people wouldn't think about it that way. And especially when we've been trained for self-myofascial release, you know, to be harder and to dig in and to smash and all of that. So I really appreciate that these tools are kind of giving you a different outlook on how you can move into your body and why it can be so beneficial. And even today I sent my boyfriend's aunt a link to the gorgeous ball because she's telling me how she was getting all this myofascial release done within her abdomen area. And she continues to see this guy, you know, two or three times a week. And I was like, that's great that he's helping you, but what are you doing for you? And how are you incorporating that into your own like self-care practice? And she really wasn't. She didn't have a link to, you know, to her own movements or her own breath, or she was relying on someone else. And I think that's when it gets scary if we rely so much on someone else to fix us and to help us rather than having the tools to do it ourselves. And so that's the other thing I appreciate about the gorgeous ball. Like you don't go to many massage places and get your abdomen rubbed. And even if you do, again, how are you incorporating that and finding the ways of getting that release and that and changing that nervous system, changing everything about how you're feeling, you know, in terms of getting that on your own. And so that's where I think having tools to be able to be at home and do this yourself and understand you have the power. It's so empowering for a client to be able to have the tools and do it on their own. I never want to be the person that you have to see three times a week, unless it's post-surgery. I get that, you know, differences for different occurrences that may need it. Yes. But if this is a chronic issue that's been happening, you don't need me to fix you. I will help facilitate and give you the tools. So I think having these balls and these things, they're tools to help you facilitate your pathway back into your own body.
Yeah, love that. And I think what you were saying too, just about listening, that taking that the model of listening with other human beings and shifting it to listening to your body. A great tool is an implement to really just stimulate different mechanoreceptors and sense yourself better and bring more attention to those different places.
Yes. Yes, totally.
So what do you have coming up? Can you share a little bit more about the program that you have out right now, the Optimal Body Program, and also like what's coming up? What are you excited about next?
Ooh, a lot I'm actually excited about. So the programs that I have, so I have the Optimal Body, which is your way of being able to, you know, just continue to increase your overall awareness. So I do a lot of education and a lot of explaining the why or how to modify, how to progress, why that would make sense within your body, what to pay attention to through functional HIIT workouts that you can do at home, core workouts, really utilizing the breath, the pelvic floor, everything together, and then mobility flows. So very generalized mobility flows hitting every area of the body. And I'm adding mindset tools too. So I'm super excited about that. Adding little mindset tools that people can just grab and go. I love being able to, you know, continue to teach people about their own body. So even if you didn't stay subscribed for years on end, at least my goal is that you came in for a few months, you learned so much about your body, not everything, but a lot about your body that you can take these tools and now implement them into new classes you might jump into or new things that you might do within your body. Like you just start to learn and increase your awareness. That's my goal for it. And I love watching Jill do the HIIT workouts, especially with her kids or anything. It's been awesome to watch her journey through it as well. And then the mobility method is a way to get more specific with your body and really learn. So there's a self-assessment that you really go through from like head to toe based on where is my mobility possibly restricted. And then it takes you through, okay, if this is restricted, here are some exercises that you can tap into. If this is restricted, here are some exercises. And that is like my one-stop all kind of shop to come back to and just like grab and take little pieces at a time. Definitely, it could be very overwhelming when you start to, you know, assess your whole body and be like, oh, I have a lot restricted. But I always say like start at the most restricted area, maybe the place that you didn't even realize, and just grab a couple exercises. One you can add in the morning, one you can add before you work out, one you can add before you go to bed, so that it doesn't become an hour-long mobility thing that you have to do every day, but it becomes a sprinkle like brushing your teeth and just addressing your body in these little ways throughout the day. So that's really those two programs. And I have challenges coming up if people want introductions into them as well. They're completely free. So like mid-September, we'll be starting a challenge that kind of hits on different types of workouts and kind of opening up awareness into your body through mobility, through workouts, through core. So we're going to do that starting September 18th. And then I have another one to really explore mobility through the body more so that will be happening closer to like beginning of November, I would say.
Awesome. And where can everyone find you? Website, Instagram? Do you tweet?
I don't tweet, but I think that it's just like I can't handle more social media. But I kept it very consistent all across the board. So DocGenFit on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube, and docgenfit.com.
Great. And so one last question. What part of your body do you go to when you need to come back to home?
For me, that's really a lot around my belly and my rib cage, I would say, like even putting my hands down here and saying, okay, can I bring my breath back to this place? Can I feel my breath through my nose and can I slow it down to a really slow exhale? And can I feel the expansion in my hands and my rib cage? So coming back to that has been a really centering place.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Dr. Jen. It has been such a joy to get to talk to you.
Thank you for having me on. I love everything you guys are doing and putting out, and it was an honor to be a part of it.
Amazing.